Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
So here we are. The title of this message is called The Transfiguration, which when I say that, I know that you all know where we're going, okay? So I've already read the passage and I'm going to read it again. Now, I've got a King James Version, and so has Bob, and when I read the name as Elias, I use the word or name Elijah. And before we start, Dom, can you tell us, Elias and Elijah, is Elias Hebrew?
It's Elijah,
but it's right, it's the Greek. It's written in the Greek. Hello, Astrid. It's the Greek. I'm going to carry on because of time. Mine says Elias. I'll say Elias this time, all right? And it came to pass, verse 28, chapter 9, Luke. About 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glycerin. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake as his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and they were awake. When they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto him, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of these things which they had seen. So, let's press on. The same account is written by Matthew and written by Mark. It's Matthew 18, 1-8. It's written by Mark 9, 2-8. They call it the Synoptic Gospels because they compare with one another. So the three disciples are given a glimpse. They're given a glimpse of Christ's majesty and divinity. What a privilege! What a privilege! He asked them, the Lord Jesus said to them, it doesn't say this in the text, but he would have said, hey guys, do you fancy coming with me? And they would have said, yeah Lord, what are we doing today? And he might have said, well, I want to climb that mountain. Yeah, I'm up for that, like a bit of mountain climbing, you know, all that sort of stuff. So they would have went up there and they were tired when they got there. He wanted a time of prayer. But they fell asleep. They were tired. It says it in the scriptures. It's interesting, isn't it? Peter, James and John are taken up to a mountain to pray, to have a prayer meeting. What if I said to you, Nika, Dominic and Michael and me, I said, Tuesday night, forget the Zoom, right? We're off up Ivanhoe Beacon. Yeah? You up for that? We're having a prayer meeting up the top of Ivanhoe Beacon. Well, it is quite high, isn't it? And after that, we'll go up Dunstable Downs. You might get a bit worn out at the end of the day after your labour. You might want to sleep. Sometimes, I'm telling you the truth, I fall asleep.
John, that Elias is actually, you see that word there?
Yeah.
So there's an actual hate of the things. So both the translations are wrong.
Pardon? Both what? Translations?
Both the translations are wrong.
Well, tell us what you're saying then.
That's an H in actual Greek. So you have an H, I, S, then you have like a... So you see the Greek... You see the Greek here.
Yeah. Can you see that, Bob?
I need to enlarge it so he can actually see it. So
sorry, everyone. We're just checking this out. Watch the cable. You see that there? That's Greek. And it's meant to say Elias.
Yeah.
But you're saying it's a mistake, Dom.
No, so I'm saying in both translations there's actually so it's spelled completely differently. So both spellings are wrong in English.
Right.
So this is like a...
Well, we'll have to write to the translators, won't we?
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's not that. So the thing is, they're just
making
it from the Hebrew.
Okay.
The Hebrew is here. So that's the Hebrew there. So which is there. I wish I could enlarge that so people can actually see it.
But I think in the other translations...
Right.
So that's what Hebrew is from.
Okay. Well, that looks more like Elijah.
Yes. Yeah.
So I would say our Elijah is based more on the Hebrew. Mm. And maybe the Elias is based on the Greek.
Yeah.
All right? So let's get back to Peter, James and John. Would...
Elijah.
Yeah. Peter, James and John... Would you say on this day, this prayer meeting up the mountain, that they got more than they bargained for when they saw Jesus transfigured? I would. Because Peter, it was on his mind. If you go to 2 Peter, and I think it is chapter... Let's have a quick look. Chapter 1, 2 Peter... He refers to this encounter years later. He's speaking about it. He says, 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 16, he says this, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were," listen to what he's saying, "we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." They saw it. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." They heard the words that Peter is even saying. I was there, I heard it. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." So, Peter is...
Huh? That's the second time.
What? You're right. You see, Bob, you're touching on something there, right? You know that when Jesus was baptized, right, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's what he said. He says here, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." It's slightly different. So here we go. So we know that Peter gave witness to these things. And I might go over this again in a few weeks' time, but it will be different. So this is the first session. So let's what we're going to do, we're going to consider some thoughts of this special and real close encounter of a divine kind. My first point is, it's a delightful meeting. Verse 30 and verse 31. "Behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. Well, I want to go to a meeting where someone lights up, don't you? Imagine, here we are, just regular brothers and sisters in the Lord, but we're not lighting up, are we, like Christmas trees? You've never come here and seen me lit up like a Christmas tree, have you? You know, but if you did, you'd say, I wonder what's going to happen in the next service, wouldn't you? I think it's delightful.
In South Korea, Brother John, there are a lot of prayer mountains.
Right. Where? South Korea.
Yeah, prayer mountains. They go up.
Do they? Well, maybe when the summer comes, we'll go up Ivanhoe Beacon. All right? Do you know, I had a Bible study once, years ago. We had this Bible study group on a Friday night. I don't know if Don was there. I took a group of us. Do you know what I made them all do? Everyone had a little candle. This was at the bottom of Ivanhoe Beacon. I said, come on, let's light the candle. Everybody lit a candle. There's about 20, 30 of us. We all lit our candle. And then I said, right, what I want you to do is go up Ivanhoe Beacon with your candle and keep the flame alight. That's not easy, is it? Because it's very windy, isn't it? Do you remember? It's windy. And the whole point was, they were like that. Was you there, Dom? It was like that. And it would blow out because of the wind. So I said, when we got up there, I said, it's difficult to keep your light shining, isn't it? It's difficult to keep your lamp trimmed and burning. Do you understand me?
Yeah, if you keep the solar light, that would stay on forever.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Liam. So, listen, what I'm going to say, let's get on with this sermon, right? Jesus prayed in a crisis. The cross was before him. He went up the mountain with his selected three, to have a time of prayer. And he had an encounter with Moses and Elijah, right? But he was praying in a crisis. And while he was praying, his countenance changed. He was transfigured. And the scripture tells us that not only did he change, but his clothing itself changed. It says it here that it was glistening. Verse 29. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. It's incredible. I've got a dark shirt on today, but if it went white and started glistening because of the glory of God, you would be amazed. And these three disciples were given a glimpse of his glory. Moses and Elijah, they appear on the scene. And why did they appear? Well, I'm going to tell you, these two men represent two great groups in the Bible. And one of them is this, that Moses represents the law. Because the law came through Moses, didn't it? You know that. It says it in 1 John. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. And Elijah, what he represents? He represents the church. He represents the church being caught up into heaven. And why I say that, most of you know, surely, that Elijah never died, did he?
Yes.
Right? You know that. He didn't die. When he was about to a fiery chariot took him up to glory, didn't it? I mean, what a way to go. Isn't that fantastic? Bob, hold on. Hold on to the rapture. Hold on, and Wally, hold on to the rapture. A fiery chariot. Look, Dave's in his chariot over there, look. Maybe some fire will come out the back. And we can all go up to glory in the mobilis. But Elijah was caught up to glory, and it's a picture of the church being raptured into glory. That's what he represents. And it happened. Fantastic. We can learn lessons from this encounter of a heavenly client. And I'm just going to, just a couple of lessons we can learn. The first lesson is this. Believers, and that's us, what should we do in a crisis? Should we go into a meltdown? Should we go into a frenzy attack? A panic attack? And drop down dead or half dead, that people like Nika and Annie and Jen, they need to resuscitate us because they're qualified nurses. Do you know what I'm saying? What should we do? We need to go and pray. It's as simple as that. And our Father in heaven sees us in a time of crisis, going to him, to his footstool, and pray. Father in heaven, I can't bear this grief I'm going through. I can't bear the grief of crucifixion, which the Lord Jesus was going to go through. They're the things he was praying. Could he cope with it? Could he handle it? Could he deal with it? The Father knows what to do. The Father knows how to give you strength to get through a terrible time. He strengthened him with the appearance of Moses and the appearance of Elijah, and they had a conversation. Blessed, just amazing. What could happen if you took the time to pray in a crisis? God would show you. I was having a crisis earlier on. I went in the cupboard to get the cables, and the Lord's word of God says, "My peace I give unto you." I thought, that's all I need to know. A cloud engulfed me, and those words came to my mind. The second thing, believers are in a, this is very interesting, believers are in a conscious existence after death. And what I'm saying is, for Moses, and oh right, I've already said that Elijah never died. But if Elijah never died, could somebody quickly tell me how old Elijah is right now? Dominic? Jethro?
He'd be from roughly the 7th century.
He's 2,750 years old. Are you looking good for his age? Paul said Elijah, on estimate, he's about 2,800 years old. Because he never died. Well, the clock's still ticking, isn't it? And if he hasn't died, Paul said he's looking good for his age. So Moses was there. Moses was alive. Elijah was there. But what I'm saying is, if anyone pops their clogs, they're going to be with the Lord. And the word of the Lord in Philippians says, it's far greater to be with him than to be here. And so we know there's a conscious existence after death. And the other thing is, when Jesus went up there to pray, he knew the cross was coming. And he went to pray, and he met Elijah and Moses, and their conversation was about the cross. What does this tell us? It tells us that heaven itself was interested about the cross. They weren't talking about Pontius Pilate. They weren't talking about Julius Caesar. They were interested in the cross that Jesus should endure. Isn't that interesting? That's what the conversation was about. The cross. You know, some people don't realise this, but it's true. Our Lord did not die on a cross accidentally. Would you agree with me? It wasn't an accident. It wasn't It wasn't a failure on his part that because he let everybody down, the Romans thought, okay, let's deal with him. We're, you know, get him out of the equation. Let's just crucify him. It wasn't an accident. He was meant to go to the cross. Come in. Come on. The ways and strays. Come on, Carol. Sit down. Let's give her a round of applause. We ain't seen that. All right?
Thank you.
Okay. We're just halfway through the message, all right? Okay, nice to see you. All right?
Amen.
So, going to say this, the cross was not an afterthought. It wasn't an accident. It was meant to happen. The prophets spoke about it. Isaiah 53, he was like a lamb led to the slaughter. So we know God ordained it to happen. My second point is this. Did you notice that the disciples, Peter I'm speaking about, made a mistake? And if Peter can make a mistake, I think that any one of us could make a mistake. And we should examine the scriptures. And we should contemplate what these things are and help us not to make mistakes. Verse 32 says, Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Anybody asleep this morning?
Not yet.
Not yet. You had an extra hour in bed, said Dominic. No one should be asleep this morning. Yeah, well, you said 12 o'clock yesterday, but don't worry about that. Anyway, but they were asleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. I've fallen asleep in a prayer meeting before. Your heart gets heavy. You know, it says in the Bible that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And when you get to go to do spiritual things, you know, who could read the Bible for 6 hours straight? You'd be tempted to fall asleep after an hour, wouldn't you? Yes, it's hard work. Why? Because you're reading a spiritual book and you're trying to edify your spirit. And the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
But if I read a novel rather than like a romance novel, I can read the whole book in one sitting.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Nika's telling us she's feeding her flesh. Isn't it? But that is the content of spiritual things. Paul was preaching all day, all night, and someone sitting on the windowsill fell asleep and fell out the window. It's incredible. Please don't fall off the chair, you might hurt yourself. But he died, and then he went and put his body over him and prayed, and he was made alive again. It's incredible. So I understand, if anyone falls asleep, it's a battle going on between the spirit and the flesh. But here they are. They're going to have a prayer meeting, a time of prayer with the Lord, and they are asleep. And while they are asleep, he's already radiating in glory. He's already shining. And they wake up halfway through this. You know, it's...
Ask them to bring a tablet.
Yeah, we're going there. Yeah. Let me say this to you. This is important. And I know a lot of things are conspiracy theories and controversy, right? But we're living in unprecedented times. I'm not trying to frighten you. There are serious things happening on this earth right now. Serious. And I'm warning you, don't fall asleep. Because when I say that, there are people that are alive, just like us. They're not only asleep, but they're blinded to the things that are going on around us right now. Now, I'm going to give you one example. And I've been listening to this term or phrase called global warming or climate change. Okay, we know it's a bit hotter. It's 1 degree hotter globally than it was 15, 20 years ago, right? And the ice caps, the North Pole, the South Pole, they seem to be melting. We know this. But I'm not having it. I'm not fooled. I'm not having the wool pulled over my ears. It's more than climate change. It's more. It's a lot more. I'm going to tell you, and it might shake you up. I don't want to shake you up, little Jezreel. I'm telling you, it's the end of the world. That's what it is. Nika agrees with me. It's not just climate change. All these things that are happening, we're coming to a time of the end. Do you understand me? So why I'm saying, if Peter, James and John can fall asleep on a mountain and the Lord is shining in glory with Moses and Elijah, if they can fall asleep, so can we. Do you get what I'm saying? We can be like Halloween, you know, evil is evil, but it's come on so gradually over the years that people are numb. They're numb to what evil is, aren't they? Mayette and I, we actually watched a cake-making program, right? The other night was Friday night, and guess what? I have to say, it was about Halloween, right? But we watched it because we wanted to see these cakes being made. Do you understand me? And there were three groups of people, and one of them made a cake of Frankenstein. You know who Frankenstein is, don't you? Everyone?
Yeah.
And they did a good job. He was there, a full body like this, and they made a table, and they made a head, they made the shoulders, didn't they, mate? It was fantastic. But when I was a child, if I watched a Frankenstein movie, it was like that! I was terrified. And I remember going up to bed in the dark, and I was looking behind the curtains because I thought he was behind the curtains.
And under the bed.
Have you done that yourself? Dave's done it. Thanks, Dave. Dave's done it over there. Anyone else done it? And Nika? I was scared. But what I'm saying is, Paul's done it. You done it?
My dad told me when I was a little kid, I got my mum and dad up in the early hours of the morning and was done with a man
for
witch's teeth.
For who?
Witch's teeth.
Witch's teeth?
I believe that witch's
teeth underneath
a man.
Right. Right, I was a kid. We were all kids, but we were scared. So what has happened? I'm now 58 nearly, 58, 59. We're not scared anymore. We've seen so much of it that we're not scared anymore. Kids aren't scared of evil. Do you get where I'm coming from? Because they've seen so much of it. But what's happened is we've had the wool pulled over our eyes and we become numb to these wicked things. Do you see what I mean? Now the same thing is happening in the world, when the world says, oh yeah, climate change, we're having a global summit up in Scotland and we've got control over all these things. Oh, there's a few bridges collapsed over a river somewhere up in Scotland. Don't worry about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you understand? We're hearing all this negative news and we're becoming numb to it. when in reality we're standing on the precipice of the end of the world. Even the corona thing, which David will inform you about lots of things about, you know, like 10,000 people died last weekend, and this happened, and this jab, that jab, global jab. We're becoming numb to all these things where people are trying to manipulate what's going on. What I'm saying is, let's wake up. Let's not be disciples that fall asleep in such an hour. But let's spend time in prayer, because it's a crisis. Not ISIS, it's a crisis, and we're all part of it. Let me say this. They had a mountaintop experience, and we should have mountaintop experiences. And the mountaintop experiences are there for a reason. They're there to equip us for service, because God wants all of us involved. All of us. Because if you read the story in Luke, you will see that when they came down the mountain, they met a demon-possessed boy, and they had to deal with it. God wants us, God wants you to enjoy a mountaintop experience so that you can deal with issues. You can deal with a crisis. I'm going to speak louder and louder, so that you can hear us next door. Is that all right? You don't mind. Praise the Lord! Sorry. Anyway, these things they're telling us that at some point that us as disciples, we will come down the mountain after having an experience with the Lord, and we have to minister to needy people. That's what we have to do. You come here week after week after week, don't you? You like that?
Yes.
Let me ask you, do you see yourself as a sponge soaking it all up? Oh, more John, more John. Or do you see yourself as a spring where you can go out of here and refresh other people? What are you? Well, we'll squeeze you later on, Bob, because we're here to be built up so that we can refresh other people with the word of the Lord. Because if you soak it up and just sit here week in, week out, soaking it up, guess what's going to happen? You're going to become stagnant. You're going to be receiving all this knowledge and all this understanding. I hope you do. But you're going to become stagnant. That's not what I want you to do. It's to go share it with someone else. Would you mind if I come round and smell each one of you to find out if you become stagnant or not? Hey? Hey, Bob?
What's that?
I want to smell everybody.
Oh,
I want to find out if they become stagnant.
Oh, you
can have a smell. You feel all right, mate. You seem okay.
Yeah.
Carol? I smell you. You? Hang about. Let me have a whiff. Dear Liam. You're all right. But what if it was you? You become stagnant. And there's no life. Because you're just receiving. God wants you to go out and give. What God gives us, what God, the revelation that God has given us, he wants us to share it with other people. And Dominic was trying to point something out. And that was that they, the disciples, wanted to just settle down. What do I mean by that? He said, Peter said, Lord, it's good that we're here so that we can build a tabernacle for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. They were happy to stay up the mountain and just soak up the atmosphere of the glory of Christ and do nothing else about it. Right, from there. Right. Let me move on. It's easier to build a tabernacle and just sit back and soak everything up rather than go and do anything. But the fact is, God wants us to do something. Yeah? Let me finish. Last point. There's a divine message. And the message is this. This is my beloved son. What are we meant to do? Hear him. The God the Father said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. God is giving importance to Jesus Christ. Although we know that the commandments and the law came from Moses, and we read Kings and we read about this spectacular ministry that Elijah had, God wants us to listen to what Jesus has got to say. All right? If it is God the Father who is speaking, don't you think that what he's saying is kind of important? It is, isn't it? It's important that we should hang onto every word that our Lord and Saviour says. Because we know that Peter said, Lord, you have the words of eternal life, didn't he? So it's important that we listen to him, yes?
Amen.
We need to listen to him when he calls you to salvation. You're not going to resist him, are you? We need to listen to him when he calls you to service. That's interesting. God, I'm happy being saved, but I don't think I want to do anything for the church or for the Lord or for anyone else after that. I'm just happy having my salvation ticket and going to heaven. But if God's calling you to service, do you think you should respond? Yes. Yes. If God calls you to baptism, are you going to say, well, I don't like water? You're not going to say that, are you? If God calls you to soul winning, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? Are you going to get involved? If God speaks, would you listen to what he wants to say? If God says something like, I want you evangelizing, are you going to say, well, Lord, I'm not good talking. That's what Moses did, wasn't it? When God called Moses to go to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh, did Moses make excuses? He did, didn't he? Oh, call me brother. I'm slow of speech. I can't speak properly. He made all these excuses. I think it's like Exodus 3 or Exodus 4:10. I think it is, Don. All right? But if Moses made excuses, I think we might make one or two excuses. Because we think that it's too much for us to go and preach the gospel to 600,000 people. I think that's how many. There was a lot of people that left Israel. Not Israel, left Egypt. And sometimes we don't feel up to the task. And we kind of keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. But God has called us to work for him. To give time to him. To focus on him. God has called that. Called us to that. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to Bible bash you. Maybe just a little bit. Just a little bit. All right? That's why I get a big Bible. But I'm closing now because we've got to get on. And I want to ask you a question as I close. Is that okay? I'm going to ask a question. And the question is this. What is the Lord saying to you? What is the Lord saying to you? It reminds me of the wedding at Cana. When Jesus spoke to the servants and told them to fill the water pots. Do you remember? And his mum said to them, whatever he says,
do it.
Well, I changed it a little bit. If you don't mind, one word. You know, there's a thing, Nike trainers, and there was an advert on the telly, and it said, just do it, just do it. And I wanted to say that to you. If the Lord is speaking, just do it. Can you do it? I don't know what he's saying to you, but you know in your heart what God wants of you. Yes? You know in your heart what God is saying to you? It might be like, take more time for him, to serve him. It might be take time to study. Can I say something to you? A few weeks ago, I told you that I had been reading a book and I stopped reading it. I don't know if you can remember. A few weeks ago, I said I'd given up reading this book. It was a rather... It's as big as my Bible. Can anyone remember me saying that?
Yes.
Carol can. Dom?
Yes.
And Joey. So I'll pat you on the back after the service because I kept to my word. I started reading it again, right? And I said to Mayette yesterday or the day before, do you know what I said to her? Mayette, apart from the Bible and apart from Pilgrim's Progress, do you know this is the best book I've ever read because I bothered to pick it back up. And it is such a good book. When I was reading it the first time round, I was telling Paul, I was saying, Paul, this book's dynamite. This like Bible study or sermon after sermon after sermon in this book. It's fabulous. Do you remember that, Paul? That was like 6 months ago. And I stopped reading it, Paul, for a couple of months. I picked it up again. I'm telling you, it's dynamite. And what I'm saying, I know the Lord wants me to read that book. I know the Lord wants me, you know, when you put your clothes in the wash and they come out, they usually got a lot of creases in them, haven't they? Well, do you iron your clothes? Anyone iron their clothes?
Not anymore.
Well, guess what? What, are you going to say something?
Pardon?
Were you going to say something?
No, I'm my clothes and
Zampi's. And Zampi's. See this shirt I got on? This shirt, guess what? This shirt is a unique shirt. You don't have to iron it. You can throw it in the machine and take it out, put it straight on.
You don't need to iron.
Mayette, we will need one of them. Bob, you need one of them. Well, I don't iron everything. You know, I don't iron any. I've got a pair of jeans. I took them out of the machine and I do want to iron them. And they've been sitting around for a month. I haven't ironed them yet, but I'll get round to it. Why I'm saying that is this book I got, it really is good. It's a book about Reformed theology. That's what it is. Because I don't believe everything people tell us. I don't go to any church. Because I don't believe what everybody does. Even though they call themselves Christians, I've been through this ism and that ism, and I'm very particular now. So this is about Reformed theology, but I found it very, very refreshing because I believe it really is true, right? And it's helping me iron out my theology, how I think about God and the Bible and our Christian conduct. That's what it's helping me to do. Do you understand me? Let's close and let's sing our final hymn and let's try and lift up our voices so that they complain next door. Should we do that? Lord, we do pray to you. We thank you for today and we ask your blessing on this sermon in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.